Once a week or more often, America wakes up to another police killing of an unarmed African-American man or woman. The deaths of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Eric Garner in New York City, and many others at the hands of police gave birth to the Black Lives Matter movement last year, which challenged a law enforcement and judicial system that was unresponsive to obvious cases of racial bias. A panel discussion titled Sorry It's the Law, that was held on July 28th in New Haven, Connecticut, addressed the topic of race relations examined through the lens of police officers' behavior. Among the panelists were a criminal defense attorney, two African-American members of the Connecticut General Assembly, a community activist, an official with the American Civil Liberties Union of Connecticut, and the New Haven Police Department's assistant police chief. Many stories were told about area citizens being stopped for the so-called crime of driving while black, including incidents where officers falsified the race of the person stopped in the report as white in order to hide the common practice of racial profiling. New Haven Assistant Police Chief Anthony Campbell, who's African-American, has been a police officer for 18 years. In this excerpt from his talk, Chief Campbell explains the psychological testing process used to weed out officers who may be unfit to serve. But although this testing is only conducted during the hiring process, he noted that once an officer is on the force, prejudices and hostility towards specific communities can change over time, which often leads to serious problems.
When an officer exhibits they're not fit for duty because they've got a high number of excessive force allegations, or we're getting reports from other officers or the community that they don't seem to be psychologically sound, we put them up for what's called a fitness for duty evaluation. They're sent to be evaluated through employee assistance program. They sit down with a psychiatrist. We send them through medical testing, see what's going on. Now, it is very hard to fire a police officer. Police officer may get fired, but may get their job back. And it's because a lot of arbitrators, and the way our system is set up is we vet police officers extremely well up front. If you get someone who can make it through that vetting process, they're a pretty stable person. Like the legislator said, they're not going to admit they're a racist person. They're not going to admit that they may be misogynistic. They're not going to admit certain things. But the psychological testing will show if they have certain tendencies, if they're more likely to have issues down the line. But we do that once. I've been on the job 18 years. I had that test 19 years ago. Wow. And since then, I've been hit by a car. I've been shot at, you name it. And I never had any psychological testing after that. Now, fortunately, I'm smart enough to know that once a week I should be sitting on somebody's couch. And I'm smart enough, you know what I mean? And I'm smart enough to know that, you know, if something's bothering me, I need to talk to someone. But everyone, you know, and especially in the culture of policing, that can be viewed as weakness. That can be viewed as, well, you're supposed to man up and toughen up. I think there's great strength in talking. I think there's great strength in understanding that no man is an island unto himself. So, yes, the psychological testing, you know, I think, you know, one of the things our chief talks about is officer wellness. Police officers are recruited from the community. And, you know, when you look at statistically, the number one people who kill themselves other than military are police. Easy access to the weapon. Highest level of divorce, second only to actors, and officers kill themselves on a regular basis. Just had an assistant chief kill himself 2 months ago. And it happens all the time because there is no psychological testing. There is no system designed to make sure that the people who are taking care of the community, who see the worst of humanity on a daily basis, are themselves being taken care of. And so it filters back into the community in excessive force, in implicit bias, in racism, because the system itself, not just the systems with regard to criminal justice, but the system itself with policing, it has to be changed. And we're chipping away at it little by little. The one thing you'll find, you go to any police department, a cop cannot stand change. They can't stand it. But they can't stand the way things are. And you look at that and go, but wait a minute, that's diametrically opposed. Yes, it is, but it's the reality. And so you chip away at the things you can. You change your internal affairs policies. You make it 7 days a week. You make it so that we'll come out and take the complaint from you. You start really putting tracking systems in place so that when a taser is used, when a baton is used, any use of force from pepper spray or what have you, you want a supervisor to be on scene, you want an use of force report to be generated so that three branches of the police department can look at this so that we start tracking officers and seeing what's going on. We're trying. We're doing what we can to make it better, but there's a lot more that can be done. You can have someone who's on the job, say 5-6 years, and you're getting reports that they're aggressive or that, you know, they're locking everybody up or they're threatening certain people. Chief gets wind of it, or we have certain programs that track it, and you pull them in and you talk to them. You may even send them for fitness for duty testing, and they say, no, they're fit for duty. They have some issues that need to be worked on. They work on those issues, and then they get released back into the community. When you're on this job, you can tell the officers who are just burnt out. They're tired. They work in hard neighborhoods. They've been bounced around. They have certain difficulties. But those difficulties may not necessarily rise to the level of you as an administrator have a right to send them for fitness for duty testing. One of the biggest things is that most police departments, the police officers are protected by a union. And that union is there to make sure that the officers, their rights, aren't taken advantage of. But it also creates yet one more barrier. I may know an officer has a problem. I may know that an officer is a little bit too aggressive or isn't in line with the philosophy we may have of community policing. But there are only certain tools that I have. Now, if let's say it was mandated that every 5 years an officer has to have psychological testing. That becomes one more tool that I, as a police chief and an administrator, can use to ensure that my officer is mentally sound. And if he needs help, he or she needs help, then we can get them the help that they need. Officers in the culture of policing are highly reluctant to seek help, because they have this mentality that if they seek help, then they're going to lose their gun, they're going to not be able to work and make money the way they want to, they're not going to be viewed in a positive light by their peers, and so there's great resistance.
That was Assistant Chief of Police Anthony Campbell of the New Haven Police Department, speaking at a July 28th public forum titled, Sorry, It's the Law. This segment was recorded and produced by Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus. For more perspectives on fair and ethical law enforcement, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.